Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Welcome back to our present conversation on God the Holy Spirit. I would like to remind you that this current series is not a deep dive into the Trinity. What we are talking about specifically is how we can enjoy communion with the Trinity, with the God who is Father, Son, and Spirit. That is, how do we have communion, prayer, fellowship with God? Leaning on theologian John Owen and his insights into Scripture, we have seen clearly that God the Father is love, God the Son is grace, and God the Holy Spirit is comfort to us. We desire to receive love, grace, and comfort from God, and to do so in the context of prayer. This is what we're after. Our text is 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14, which reads, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." Therein we hear about love, grace, and comfort. And my hope is that by teaching this, you will adopt a Trinitarian focus in your prayers, if you have not already done so. And as we last left off, we had traced what the Lord Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. In John chapters 14, 15, and 16, the Lord promised the Spirit. That was the promise made. He said the Spirit will be our helper or comforter, hence our comfort. In John chapter 7, the promise was made again. Once Jesus was glorified, when he had died, been buried, and resurrected, and after his ascension, when Christ's glorification was complete, then the promised Spirit would come on the disciples. And sure enough, in Acts chapter 2, the promise was fulfilled. Christ's promise was kept, and we read about the Holy Spirit filling the disciples. The purpose of using John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39, is twofold. Let me read this text, refer to our first purpose, and then we will get into our second purpose today. I am back at John 7, friends, in my Bible, in verses 37 through 39. "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water.' But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Christ was not yet glorified." Somewhat uniquely for us, our first purpose dealt with the last verse. We started at the end of the reading. In verse 39, Jesus said that his words in verse 38 referred to the Holy Spirit, and then we are told of the progression. First, Christ is glorified, then the Spirit is given and received. We discussed that on the last broadcast and podcast, and I just summarized that for you. Now we come to our second purpose, which actually takes us back to the beginning of the text in verse 37. And the purpose is to identify one of the many specific ways in which the Holy Spirit helps and comforts us. By doing this, I hope to give you a practical example of how you can pray to the Spirit and receive from him. And in verse 37, we learn that Jesus is in Jerusalem at the Feast of Booths, also known as the Feast of Tabernacles. And it's on the last day of this Jewish feast when Jesus stands and cries out. Please note that for a rabbi to stand meant that what he was going to say was very important. Typically, rabbis sat to teach. And he cried out, which he had done before in John 7, verse 28. Standing and crying out emphasized the significance of the invitation. And when Jesus brings up being thirsty and coming to him for drink, and in verse 38, he adds the imagery of flowing rivers of living water. Well, this does not come out of nowhere. The Lord, as always, says what he says and where he says it on purpose. We need to understand a Jewish tradition that had emerged and was practiced at the very time Jesus was in Jerusalem at the feast and said these words. So this is a tradition. We do not find this practice in our Old Testaments. Let me quote one Bible scholar. A tradition grew up in the last few centuries before Jesus that on the 7 days of the Feast of Booths, or Tabernacles, a golden vessel containing water from the Pool of Siloam was transported in a priestly procession back to the temple. As it came to the water gate, 3 trumpet blasts were sounded to mark the joy of the occasion. At the temple, as the people watched, the priest would march around the altar carrying the water container while the temple choir sang the Hallel, Psalms 113 through 118. The water was then offered as a sacrifice to God. The use of the water symbolized the blessing of adequate rainfall for crops. Jesus used this event as an object lesson and opportunity to make a very public invitation on the last day of the feast for his people to accept him as the living water. End of quotation. That is important background to have. In your mind's eye, picture Jesus watching the water pouring ceremony, and when it is done, or perhaps during it, he stands and cries out with a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." This is why Jesus gives this invitation then, at that specific time of the feast, what John calls the great day. And those 3 words, thirsty, come, drink, speak of having a great unmet spiritual need. There is that thirst in the soul of everyone who has yet to meet Christ or who has met him and sadly rejected him as the true Messiah. They are parched, bone dry. Come, that's the word of invitation, and drink, that's the word of satisfaction. Receive the salvation that Jesus alone offers you. What a picture Jesus uses for salvation found in him. The thirsty come to him and drink of him. Jesus is the living water. I wonder if you listen today and you are spiritually very dry, could you use a drink of the living water? He is Jesus the Christ, and his invitation to the Jews on that day is also his invitation to you, Jew or Gentile, on this day. Have you even tried to quench your thirst by being quote-unquote spiritual? You might say, "I am not religious, but I am spiritual." And you have tried different spiritual practices, and still your needs have not been met. You're still dry. Well, I urge you to come to the source of all spiritual life today, this man Jesus. Come to him and drink of him. He alone satisfies our thirst. This is not the first time Jesus speaks of being the living water. The other day I mentioned his encounter with the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. Remember, they met at a well? Listen to John 4, verses 10 and 11, and then I will drop down to verses 13 and 14. I'm reading in John 4. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?" Down to verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." John 4 and 7 all come together in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the living water. And then back in John 7, verses 38 and the first part of verse 39, our Lord continues, "He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke of the Spirit. Let's take this in parts. Jesus begins quoting from the book of Isaiah. "For those of us who believe in Jesus, from our innermost beings will flow rivers of living water." This is God speaking in Isaiah 44:3. "For I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants." And again in Isaiah 55:1, "Ho, every one of you who thirsts, come to the waters." And Isaiah 58:11, "And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places, and give strength to your bones, and you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." You hear the theme of the thirsty and the dry ground and the scorched places, and then the waters and the watered gardens and the spring of water and water that does not fail. Isaiah speaks of Jesus. Isaiah chapters 44, 55, and 58. Second, notice this, do not miss this, the beginning of John 7, verse 39. "But this Jesus spoke of the Spirit." Notice the application. The Spirit is the source of the rivers of living water that will flow out of the innermost being of those who believe in Jesus. And this is where we begin next time. This is one way the Spirit comforts us. Join us then, because God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others. And be sure and join me for the next one.